Tata Orlando Pico Zimbabwe Mushe Muri Zimbabwe Lingali. Shona njani mthokazo Moshe Zimbabwe Mushe Kwazwa 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 Muri Zimbabwe to everybody tuning in. Welcome, welcome, welcome Muri Zimbabwe. You tuned into Live Talk, the Connection Studio 7's very own youth program that targets tackling anything and everything youth related. Muri Zimbabwe mthokazo Moshe. You are tuned into Live Talk, the Connection, and today is Tuesday, the 25th of January, 2021. I'm your host, Mike Ole. Once again, Zulukandaba sithanda ukubonga wonke umuntu ongenayo kuhlelo lethu labasakhulayo, uhlelo Live Talk, the Connection. Lilami uMike Hobe, mthokazo omuhle. We're coming to you from my apartment in Washington, D.C. on Tuesday, the 25th of January, 2021. Mthokazo omuhle, Zimbabwe omuhle. Unfortunately, this is a pre-recorded broadcast. What this means is you cannot call in live. Just name Muri Zimbabwe to choose this is something like so. So what that means is that tonight on our program, you can give us your feedback on our three Facebook pages, that being VOA Ndebele, VOA Shona, and of course our VOA Studio 7. So go ahead and write your comments in the comment section, Zimbabwe Muse, and we'll get to see your feedback. Muhlelo lethu labasakhulayo nasi mhlongatelo lethu tonight on The Connection, we focus on the 2022 International Day of Education Commemorations, which is commemorated annually on the 24th of January worldwide. We're also going to be speaking to youth of the nation about the newly formed political party, Citizens Coalition for Change, led by advocate Nelson Chamisa. So stay tuned, Muri Zimbabwe, and you're going to be hearing more. Unfortunately, once again, just to re-emphasize, tonight's program is a pre-recorded broadcast. What this means is you cannot join in live as per usual. Just the name Muri Zimbabwe to choose this song like so. So you're able to write your comments in our three Facebook pages, that being VOA Shona, VOA Ndebele, VOA Studio 7. Link of course in dialogue with you, and if you want to share, do not forget to press the share button, Muri Zimbabwe, so that we can watch the program in our numbers. And last but not least, a link of course with you, and if you want to like, to press the like button, Muri Zimbabwe could talk to you. Chokwa ni chuo nuzi, aiwa Muri Zimbabwe, tini tose like so, si sonke kona pa, buhutele le chuu, labasa kula yo. Sasi gena ge, buhutele le chuu, lanamta anje, to delve into tonight's program, as usual, Muri Zimbabwe. First up, an update on COVID-19. Now, according to the most recent statistics released by the Ministry of Health and Childcare, Zimbabwe currently has 228,541 COVID-19 cases, 214,108 recoveries, and 5,305 deaths. Now, last night alone, 287 new cases were recorded, 809 recoveries, and 11 deaths. To date, 4,244,000 people have taken the first jab of the COVID-19 vaccine, and 3,272,926 are fully vaccinated. So those are the latest statistics released by the Ministry of Health and Childcare regarding COVID-19 in Zimbabwe. But whilst on the discussion of COVID-19 with Zimbabwe, as usual, the Ministry of Health and Childcare has constantly, time and time again, released information regarding the COVID-19 epidemic, regarding the vaccines available in the country. So let's head over to one of the infomercials released by the Ministry of Health and Childcare. The next clip we're about to play is of President Emmerson Mnangagwa educating the nation more on the COVID-19 pandemic. To see more of this clip, head over to the Ministry of Health and Childcare's Twitter page for more information. Let's head over to the clip of President Emmerson Mnangagwa.
I am Emmerson Mnangagwa, the President of Zimbabwe. Since 2020, Zimbabwe, like the rest of the world, has been fighting COVID-19. We have lost many of our loved ones, and those who have survived are still coming to terms with the trauma. Our way of life has changed as we adjust to the new normal. Many of you have been asking, is there a way out? Is there protection against COVID-19? Well, I'm here to tell you that you and I have a role to play in this fight. COVID-19 vaccines have been delivered to Zimbabwe. These vaccines help minimize the risk of infection and are being administered all over Zimbabwe free of charge. You and I need to defeat the disease. So get vaccinated now. This is our stand against COVID-19. Together, we will conquer. Get vaccinated now.
Zimbabwe Murugu Zwondra Megaka Mashokaya Chapiwa Nebazi Nona Nezo Tango Apa Mangabichis of Chulamiru and Nika Vatemasan Nandakova Chikuru Ziraka Zaraz Zimbabwe once Blaine Waduin, Akarivose Zimbabwe once Blaine Waduin, which no by one number, no Sidera COVID-19. Aso Zuluan Dava the Sandu of Hela Ama, Sidamangameli Emerson Nandakwa, Lapa with Kutazu Zutai. Kumani ngobo nengibenyu, yo shakwa HXN eli chonge ugudigela ugumemeseka kwe COVID-19 eliseni. So now Muri is in Zimbabwe to delve into tonight's discussion. Earlier on I mentioned that tonight in the connection we're going to start off by focusing on the International Day of the Education commemorations, which are commemorated worldwide on the 24th of January. Now this day is a day set aside by the United Nations to focus on education systems worldwide. Now the theme of this year's commemorations are Recover and Revitalize Education for the COVID-19 Generation. Now as it says within the theme itself, the theme of the 2022 commemorations focuses on strengthening education systems worldwide following the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic. Now for those that do not know, that will be very difficult to say. However, the past 2 years of global education systems have been struck and impacted by the COVID-19 pandemic. Zimbabwe is no special. Now, to focus on how the COVID-19 pandemic has affected Zimbabwe, and of course, what can be done to improve Zimbabwe's education system, I reached out to Jobert Bwenya, a Zimbabwean educator who was recently in the United States on one of the U.S. flagship programs that focuses on empowering educators worldwide. Now, in this conversation that I have, Jobert talks to me more about the current state of education in Zimbabwe, what we can learn from how the United States handles education, and lastly but not least, how we can empower Zimbabwean students. So let's head over to my conversation that I had with Jobert, and when we come back, we're going to family Moshelo and we speak to other youth. Let's hear first from Jobert.
There is a lot of cultural things that we do that affect our education system, both positively and negatively. So that said, we really need to go back and say, what is it that we do that might not be contributing positively to the education of our students, as teachers, as parents, and even the school system itself. Mm-hmm. And on the methods part, there's been a call with the new curriculum introduced 2017, there's been a call of why we should change our teaching methods as teachers. But maybe because of the economic situation, the implementation of the curriculum hasn't been the best. But for us to progress in as far as the 21st century education goals are concerned, I'm learning this, that we really have to change our teaching methods. We have to focus on, rather, the education system should be more learner-focused than teacher-focused, because when maybe we went to school, things were a lot different than what they are today. Mm-hmm. 15 years ago, 20 years ago, you'd know that you get into an employment, you spend the rest of your life as a teacher, as a doctor, and so on and so forth. But things are changing exponentially now, and we see with the COVID pandemic how things have been turned upside down with technology. So we really need to move to teaching methods that will help our learners be able to switch from, say, this kind of a job because maybe it's not satisfying or because it's really been overtaken by circumstances. So our learning methods should be learner-centered to that effect, that they don't really rely on me as a teacher, but mm-hmm. they gain the confidence to rely on themselves. Mm-hmm. And then on the technology part, we are a bit backward. Rather, we are very backward. So there is a lot that we need to do in that regard. There is a lot of infrastructure that we still need to build. But that said, we need to integrate the little technology that we have mm-hmm. Into our learning. Because in any case, our learners understand technology better than us, their teachers. And from that perspective, we need to be trained as teachers in as far as how to handle these new technologies, especially in the classroom is concerned. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, we need to maybe depart from our cultural norms of saying, I'm the center of education, and give the learners, the chance to teach us as teachers, because they have a know-how. They were born into technology. So from day one, they have the technology. So they understand technology better. So maybe as teachers, we need to give them that platform to say, you teach me this. I don't understand how to use Google Drive. I don't understand how to use TikTok. How can we use TikTok in the classroom? Mm-hmm. That way, we are somehow bringing our students into the fore, and they'll, at the end of the day, love, being part of the education.
Jobeth, you had the opportunity of coming to America on one of the education flagship programs last year. I believe during that time, of course, you gained insight on how America was able to handle the COVID-19 situation, especially when we're focusing on the education sector. Talk to us a little more about that.
Learners were given tablets. Every learner, at least in California, has a tablet, and the funding came from that district. So learning technically continued, though they were learning from home. Mm-hmm. And those that needed food aid, I understand they have food for those who earn less than the average American would earn. They will provide them food from home. Mm-hmm. They also had, I'll say their teachers were trained in terms of how to handle the new technologies that have come in. The main platform they are using being Canvas and Zoom. So there was that training in that direction. And when they reopened, there were some who had a choice of saying, oh, well, we still feel unsafe to go back to school. So they came up with a program of still reaching out to those who decided not to go back to the face-to-face learning. They've rolled out COVID vaccinations even for the school-going kids. So the experience, I think, in their case, as much as it has changed the way education is being rolled out, to some extent, they are continuing, and the disturbances were there, mm-hmm. but learning didn't stop, at least in as far as it did in our context in Zimbabwe.
I see about my job is, asithintene udaba lolungolimi lukamama ngamafishane njengoba uke washala kwele Melika bengicela ukuthi utshele uZulu ikakhulukazi abalaleli bethu abasakhulayo ukuthi kukhona na esinakufunda njengelizwe nxa sesikhangela indlela iMelika iphatha ngayo ezemfundo ikakhulukazi ngesikhathi iCOVID-19 ilokhu iqhubekela phambili ngemetheka kwele Melika.
Okokuqala engingakutsho ukuthi lanxa umkhuhlane lo ubufike ngesikhathi abantu bengawukhangelelanga, bona in terms of izakhiwo zokuthi benelise ukufunda abantwana besezindlini mm-hmm. bezivele zikhona. In terms of i-infrastructure bebevele belayo eyokuthi abantwana benelise ukufunda bengikhaya, abantwana bayenelise ukuthi bethole i-Wi-Fi. And wakathesi eCalifornia umntwana wonke ule tablet uyenelisa ukufunda engkhaya. lanxa isikolo sithe sezivuliwe abantwana lokhu besebenzisa ama-tablets wona lawa abasasebenzisa ama-textbook ngendlela maybe akade besebenzisa ngawo eminyakeni edlulileyo. So kimi kuyilokhuyana ukuthi bebevele bengani bakulungiselele, and i-challenge esilayo thina njengelizwe ukuthi lathi sizinuka amakhwapha abamabhizimusi, uhulumende, abazali, senelisa ukuthi sakhe lathi i-infrastructure ezayenza ukuthi nxa silangana la ma-challenges anje, senelisa ukuthi i-education system yethu ingabi affected the way ebe affected ngayo. Okunye maybe engikunazeleleyo i-issue yemhloliso. Banike abantwana ithuba lokuthi nxa bebona ngani abayenelisi ukubhala imhloliso bazaqhubekela phambili ngezifundo zabo, kukhangelwe indlela kade besenza ngayo eminyakeni edlulileyo, ngoba bona bale lokho kuthiwa ngathi esikuthi eZimbabwe ngaba i-continuous assessment esifunga uku-adopt yindlela enhle eyokuthi abantwana lanxa bebengafundi isikhathi eside kodwa benelisa ukutshengisela ulwazi abayenelisa ukuluthola njalo lama-skills abayenelisa ukuthola lanxa bebevele bengekho ezikolo. So e-America kukhanya into ebivele ikhona. So when i-COVID came bavele nje kwahle kwathiwa khonokade sikwenza ikho esizayenza ukuthi sincedise abantwana beqhubekele phambili. Ngithi kubuya kungani kunzima ngoba umumo womkhonomi ababalisi kabakho ezikolo isikhathi eside, so kungani kungumthwalo onzima, kodwa khona kuvele kuyinto enhle ezayenza ukuthi abantwana lanxa egulile ngelanga lomhloliso ayenelisa ukuthi abevele ele mark angene umhloliso ela. So bona ukuthi kube lula ukuthi bethi hayi ndasimeni ukubhala imhloliso abangenelisiyo lingabhali, kodwa liyaqhubekela phambili ngezifundo zabo ngoba bebevele belakho lokho kuthiwa i-continuous assessment. And okokugcina engingakutho ikhona ukuthi bona sebefike kuhlelo lokuthi abantwana sebehlatshwa njalo abantwana bayenelisa ukuthi lanxa bebuya ezikolo lo lalo uletafula yakhe dingakala ukuthi betshone betshintshana, so i-contact iba lutshwane. And umbalisi lo mbalisi ulendawo yakhe abantwana ababuya khona balemtshina yokuthi bayaklina bayahlambulula umoya emaklasini into ezinjalo. So bona bekungani bavele umkhuhlane bebewulindele thina usijumile. So kuningi okumele sikufunde njengabazali, njengababalisi, uhulumende naye wonke umuntu o-involved kwezemfundo.
Hayi, siyakuzwa bafo. Unfortunately our time here is running up. Kumele siqhubekele phambili ngohlelo sixoxa labanye basakhulayo labo besitshela umbono wabo ngalolu daba. But as we wrap up, Jovis, you learned a lot during your time here in the United States of America. So I'm a little curious, what changes do you think need to be implemented in Zimbabwe in order for us to be able to improve our education sector?
The excitement is very high when you enter an American classroom and you wish this was my case back home. All we can do as participants in this program is to work as an adapter. In other words, we know we are coming from a high voltage area. We need to supply whatever we can to a low voltage area. There are little things that we need to do from a national level that may not really need the technology, that may not really need the money, but we just need to change our orientation. We need to change our thinking. So, for example, I would say the issue of there's too much, academic focus in our students. There are 7 compulsory subjects, which I feel is not really fair for the student who wants to be an actress. You load them with math, physics, and so on and so forth. So those are some of the things maybe going to 2022 where we have to review our curriculum. Those are things that we should be advocating for, that let's lessen the burden on the student. And personally, I would say I'll continue on the path of helping students gain the 21st century skills. That has not necessarily been maybe the case given the education methods that we are using. So in a nutshell, really, I would say my focus would be more on the implementing teaching methods that are learner-centered, teaching methods that will help a learner become relevant in the 21st century.
Well, Zulubadaba, you just heard there from Utobe Tungwenya, a Zimbabwean educator based in Rwanda, to their Tunga in Zimbabwe, with Kotswani and Belumbo Noakeng, and local ones that are like in Omela and Heaven Fundo, Manzaku Bakunimra in Zimbabwe, Utobe Tungwenya, Nago Wakambo, Yakuno, for America, a Pacific from Wachino Tunga Miro, and Urumende, the America, Chakanangan, and the Sibu Tirava, I Papi Rose. Changati kizea kanyaye kuti nyaya dzidziso dzakamira sei muZimbabwe uyezve zvii zvingaitwa mukusimudzira vechidiki kana kuti mukusimudzira varairidzi pamwe chete nevadzidzi munyika. But we also reached out to Odia Ndaleka, who is another educator based in Zimbabwe, to hear her thoughts on the matter and, of course, most importantly, how the COVID-19 pandemic affected education in Zimbabwe. Let's hear more from Odia.
Okay, I think I have to start by mentioning a lot of things which are affecting students during this period of disease. Students have been sent back home while they have been doing their studies. And it's so sad because they're even used to e-learning while we have got data course, high data course, major challenges. Need to the computer skills at times, especially on either primary or secondary education learners. And also electricity cuts and an availability of some of these services in rural areas is the most issues which are affecting students currently, and that might lead to poor results, especially on primary and secondary learners.
Audia, I'm a little curious about the status of e-learning in Zimbabwe. As an educator, how would you argue e-learning has worked out in Zimbabwe? Bearing in mind, of course, that we know that government has attempted in supporting students by providing smartphones, by providing radios, et cetera, et cetera, to ensure that, you know, under periods whereby Zimbabwe goes under lockdown, students can at least be able to access their studies, be it via radio or through online means. Tell us how you think that this has worked out for Zimbabwe so far.
If you students can be have access to education during this hardest time, because online learning is exposing the social differences between students. Being financially unstable is now a hindrance to most students fighting their right to education due to data costs. Also, erratic power supply is another major challenge in Zimbabwe, especially in seldom available during the day. Students start during the night and are often unable to keep up with their academic workload. So it's so hard for us to really focus. You know, when we are at home, it's so hard to only focus at school. At times we have to do housework and stuff, so it's so hard for us to concentrate in school during this pandemic.
As educators, how have you adapted to what they're calling the new norm? Where some places have introduced absolute e-learning as a means of continuing with studies, and others have introduced what many are calling hybrid classes, where some classes are taken online and other classes are taken in person. How have you adapted to this system as educators?
It's so hard for us to continue doing online learning, especially when our parents are providing data. Data costs are so high, so I think I have a request maybe from the government or from our respective teacher education, so that they have to provide data, or they have to engage service providers, literature provided so that learners have access to free Wi-Fi or free data from either the government or the institution. Maybe that way it will be better.
Muzvarenda lekangatimbozi anyai nerimiro amai neshona ndizi. Kune vamwe vanhu vane maondo ekuti zvikoro ngazviendere mberi zvakavhakwa. Nepamusana pekuti pese panovhurwa zvikoro denda recovid-19 rinobva ranyanyo pararira munyika. Semurairidzi, what are your thoughts on these sentiments?
Yes, but students with disabilities and these students they might find it hard to transition, especially those who have got impaired hearing or vision. Mm-hmm. They cannot, especially either through WhatsApp or other e-learning platforms. So it's so hard for them to learn or study while it's there at home.
Tikatarisa makore maviri apfuura muna 2020 nemuna 2021, sevarairidzi munyika vazhinji vakapedza nguva yakati rebei vachiratidzira nepamusana pemihoro. So mungati pane zvinhu zvacho zvachinja here parizvino?
Chokwadi ndechekuti mihoro mishoma zvikuru kwazvo zvekuti we might be at work but not delivering the service. Izvozvo zvinokonzera futi kuti maresults edu ave affected because a lot of students zvamanje manje vari kuenda kunodzidza kuma stuff. So I think the government have to make sure that teachers are capacity to work or even give services online.
Now, as we wrap up our conversation here, Audia, unfortunately time is up, so we're going to have to wrap up our chat here. I would like to hear your thoughts on how the education sector in Zimbabwe can be improved. Now, the sector itself, over the past, we could argue, 2-3 years, has been faced with several different challenges with an ever-changing environment, ranging from schools opening, schools closing due to lockdowns, and, of course, the COVID-19 pandemic. What do you think Zimbabwe can do to address the challenges that were faced by both students and educators over the last, arguably, let's say, 3 years, to make sure that students are not affected by future pandemics such as the COVID-19?
Okay. The first thing, I'm pleading with the government or our respective institutions to provide data, free data, for learners, also to make sure that there is electricity throughout Zimbabwe so that everyone will be in a good place so that they can work on their school work. Also, the government has to provide either cell phones to those who are vulnerable. We have some of the students who are in remote areas and some have no access to smartphones. And that one might cause some of the learners not to attend to their class either online or either online. Especially issues to do with data and smartphones. We have got vulnerable students which might need the government at this hardest time of the pandemic.
Well, Zimbabwe Muse Sandubonga Uoti and Daleka, Ngokungena Kuhlelo Lwethu Lwabasakhulayo, Muri Zimbabwe, you're hearing there from Uoti and Daleka, who was speaking more on the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic on Zimbabwean education, and of course, what can be done to improve the education sector. But now, to take a look at what's happening in other countries that's COVID-19 related, in South Africa, students are fighting the idea of a vaccine mandate. Now, just like in Zimbabwe recently gave permission to ensure that abantu abasakhulayo 5 to 11 can now also be vaccinated against the COVID-19 pandemic. But in South Africa, students' organizations are standing in solidarity against that. This is it's their rights to pick as to whether or not they want to be vaccinated. Let's head over to a report that was done by our VOA correspondent, Linda Givitash, to hear more about what's happening in South Africa.
Universities across South Africa are gearing up for a new school year as the country emerges from its fourth wave of the coronavirus pandemic. and COVID vaccines will be a prerequisite for many returning to campus. The South African Union of Students has warned protests of vaccine mandates are looming. At the University of Johannesburg, students say they're angry that they weren't consulted and claim the policies infringe on their constitutional rights to bodily integrity.
Students must go to vaccinate under their free will. There's no one who is in a bio bubble. So whether you are vaccinated or not, the moment you leave campus to do your grocery shopping or go anywhere else, you come across people who are vaccinated and who are not vaccinated.
Less than half of South African adults have been inoculated, and there's no national vaccine mandate in place. The reasons behind vaccine hesitancy are complex. Students say their decisions are made on personal preference, cultural, and religious beliefs, despite there being no evidence such methods protect against COVID-19.
From the first wave, I've stuck to African home remedies. I haven't been hospitalized. I've never tested positive. And I think because that worked for me thus far, I will continue with that remedy. People who have vaccinated are said to have been protected from the virus, and they should find ease in that. They shouldn't be bothered by the fact that someone else is choosing to not vaccinate and exercise that right.
Vaccines do protect people, especially against severe disease. But one of the country's top doctors says unvaccinated people pose other risks beyond catching or spreading COVID-19.
They are much more likely to end up in hospital, in ICU, and to die of COVID-19. And ending up in hospital is not just a burden that individual assumes. It's a burden that is shared across society, both in terms of the funding of the healthcare system, as well as other impacts that materialize in that hospital when there's needing to start to cut back on, as an example, elective surgery, because healthcare facilities are coming under pressure.
Which is why he's calling for tougher measures on those resisting the shots.
All choices come with consequences, and that's the whole point, is that a mandatory vaccination doesn't mean that we're going to tie you down or put you in prison if you choose not to be vaccinated. It should come with consequences, just like there are consequences for every other choice that one makes in life.
For unvaccinated students, it's losing access to campus. The University of Johannesburg said in a statement that exemptions will be considered on health or religious grounds. Exempt students will have to provide a negative COVID test each week. If they aren't granted an exemption, students fear what being barred from campus will mean about their future.
If I'm refusing to vaccinate because it goes against my will and whatever it is that I believe, and the institution wants to protect me, then we must find means to find common ground. If it means I have to go for testing every week, if it means I have to screen every 2 hours, then so be it. But means must be made. They can't take away my right to an education because I don't want to vaccinate.
The University of Johannesburg says students can always regain access to campus once they get their shot. Linda Giftash for VOA News, Johannesburg.
Well, that was our VOA correspondent, Linda Giftash, updating us with where South Africa bona bakwenza njani. How are they handling umkhuhlane lo COVID-19? Ikakhulukazi sikhangela indaba zemfundo. Alikubona njani izulu kandaba? Libona ngani ababalisi bayenelisa na ukuqhuba umsebenzi wabo kahle kwele Zimbabwe? Abhalani imibono yenu kukhasi lethu kufacebook VOA Studio 7. Sikhona njalo ku-VOA Shona kanye laku-VOA Ndebele. Kulezimba kuthi everybody tuning in right now. Thank you so much. You're tuned into Life of the Connection. I'm your host, I'm Mike Wole, Paris Genomori Zimbabwe. Tukumboze, nyayadzezizo, asi, tukwedrambe neurukurezelu, tukukura newe chikiki. We're going to be continuing our conversation, speaking to the youth of the nation. If you tune in right, once again, Mori Zimbabwe, if you tune in, you're tuned into Live Talk, The Connection. I'm your host, Mike Wole. Symptoms, the virus. Shout out there to Mr. T. Dariba. Swa, Amin, Indeed, Dariba. Just signal they're partnering up with Roots Africa for that amazing, amazing message. Hansi, Gezai Maoko, Gezai Maoko, Gezai Maoko, Muri Zimbabwe. Regai Kusawangana. Nekuti COVID-19. Achiwere, Chiri, go. Uhlelo lwabasakhulayo uhlelo di-connection lami uMike Wabezi Buganda basukela phambili ngohlelo lwethu lwabasakhulayo lisandukuzwa umbiko okwethulwe inhlanganiso ye-Roots Africa abethelana lo mhlabeleli u-Jazz Signal Besai gezani izandla ngenxa yokuthi i-COVID-19 is a real Zulukandaba is a very, very real. Now, as we wrap up tonight's discussion, Zulukandaba namhlanje uhlelo lwethu, I mentioned ukuthi tonight on the connection, we're going to be speaking to youth about the Citizens Coalition for Change. Now, that is a newly founded political party, which is led by Advocate Nelson Chamisa. It was formerly known as the MDC Alliance. And just yesterday, I went through a whole rebranding phase, a whole renaming phase. Now, to hear more, we reached out to a youth member, Godfrey Kurawone, to hear more about this new political party. And, of course, most importantly, what do they have in store for the youth of the nation? Why should the youth of the nation invest in this political party? So let's head over to my conversation that I had with Godfrey Kurawone to hear more.
We previously talked about citizens' convictions for change. The idea is the same. It's all about bringing all the citizens in one roof. It's all about bringing all the citizens of Zimbabwe in a one bigger institution that you have seen being launched today, a new baby in the block that we expect every Zimbabwean to board on so that we move together as a family, marching towards to a new Zimbabwe. And we are very hopeful that this new baby, an energized one, a rejuvenated one, could definitely usher a new dispensation in Zimbabwe.
Right. What's on the discussion of this new baby, so you're explaining it. When your party was under the MDC Alliance banner, there were a lot of things that we carried over from, for example, when the late Morgan Tsvangirai was the president. You carried over that history. You carried over the followers that came with him, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Now, granted, even when Advocate Nelson Chamisa took over as the president of the MDC Alliance, he brought in his own followers amongst the youth of the nation. But now, with that history, a lot of organizations go through that. When there's a change of history, rebranding, etc., people who like the old tend to fall off. Is there no fear of people who, for example, were really heavily invested in the MDC brand falling off when you guys change over into this new party?
People really, really don't like or didn't like the MDC as a name. And MDC as a name in itself, without proper leadership, MDC as a name in itself, without principles and values, is nothing. So, in my view, people didn't follow MDC as a name, but they followed the idea that was in the MDC. They followed the leadership that was in the MDC. They followed the values and the principles that were in the MDC and the ideology in the MDC. That's what they followed. So they didn't follow the name. So everything that was in the MDC was not left behind. What only left behind is the name. But however, with this new kid in the block, on the block, we strongly feel that a number of people would want to be associated with it, because my understanding is, you know, there were some people who didn't want to be associated with MDC because of maybe some labels that was given in the MDC and so forth. But they were actually interested in joining hands with the leadership of the MDC. And now this is the opportunity to then come and join where we are all saying we are starting afresh. Everyone would want to be associated with something which one can say, I started this thing. I was there when this thing started. I am part of those founding members of this great project. So I feel that everyone or a lot of people who come and join, instead, our numbers are increasing and our numbers will increase. Just work the space, you will realize that our numbers will increase. And like I said, people will follow the principles, people will follow the ideology, people will follow the values, people will follow the quality and good leadership that is in the Citizens Coalition for Change.
Mm-hmm. Now, speaking of the policies themselves, when you guys were under the MDC Alliance banner, even just under the general leadership, there were a lot of young people that were part of your leadership. The spokesperson, for example, Advocate Fadzai Mahere, we've got Gifto Stalio Siziba, all of these people who are part of the senior, leadership of what at the time was the MDC Alliance. But now, as you move forward into this new party, can the youth of the nation expect that similar policies would continue, similar pro-youth policies would continue?
Look here, Mike. A party or an organization that wants continuity will invest in its young people. So, look at our president. He's young. Look at on average, the national executive of the party is generally young. And therefore, would love to see that happening and continuing. And I can reassure you that the trend that you have seen before, whereby we have been like recruiting and putting young people on the posts of leadership, will continue to save the organization, to save the institution, and also to make sure that there is continuity within the organization. Recently, we went through candidate selection processes. I can tell you that in Mashingo, I'm quite very happy that in Mashingo, where we've managed to have two new young people who are contesting against ZANU-PF and MGC in the next election. So, like I said before, we are really continuing. We're not going back. We are not reversing. We are continuing because we want these young people to carry over the leadership of the party in the future.
Right. So now let's talk a little more about, I guess, educating people on the fact that you guys now are under a new banner. There's a new kid on the block. I was going through my WhatsApp and my Twitter today. It was just yellow, 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 yellow. Which I guess speaks to the communication that you guys have in the urban centers, all these young people that are on social media. But what about the young person who has no access to Twitter, who has no access to Facebook, Instagram, etc.? What can be done to reach out to them so they know more about, the Citizens Coalition for Change and have an option as to whether or not they want to be invested in this?
Citizens Coalition for Change is not an urban project. It's not an urban party. It's a party that covers the whole country of Zimbabwe, even in the rural areas. We have structures there. We have structures in each and every ward. We have structures in each and every district. We have structures in each and every province. So each and every member of the structure have a responsibility to make sure that they have made the party known wherever they are. this is what we're going to do in the next few days to make sure that we roll out a campaign whereby everyone, wherever he is, whether you're in Lotito, whether you're in Vukururu, or you're in Muroi, there in Zaka, your duty is to make sure that you make this part known in your area. So we use our structures there in the rural areas. So we want to rely on social media, but because we know the power in the social media, we know the power in technology. So that is the reason why we are utilizing it right now. But it is not our only means of marketing the party. It's not our only means to publicize this party so that it's known everywhere. We have structures, so we go there physically on the ground. We go down there in the rural areas and market this project to make sure that everyone is aware of it, to make sure that everyone knows where we are going and where we're coming from.
Mkoma Godfrey ngathi ngozenya ine rime ra mai kuitrok vanongo wisisa ushona nawo wawisise zvokuitika munyika. Tootanga panyaya yezvebato renyu reCitizens Coalition for Change, bato raimbove MPC Alliance. Tiudzeiwo zvizere nezvebato renyu.
Tatanga mwana mutsva atazvara mwana mutsva watinoti Citizens Coalition for Change. Muchikaranga chedu kungorwa kuti kubatana kwama citizens tichitsvaga shanduko. Saka tinotarisira kuti ma citizens ese emuZimbabwe vazvizvarwa zvese zvemuZimbabwe zvichauya kuzoungana pachinhu chitsva ichi kuti tose tigone kuona shanduko ichiuya munyika. Zvinoitika badzi kana mhuri yeZimbabwe ikangoyaya pamwe chete, ine muono umwe chete, ine mafungiro amwe chete.
Mai vedu vatsigiri vakawanda vaimbotsigira vashakabvu vamogen tsvangirai zvino sezvo machinja zita kana kuti mava nebato itsva. Nemaondero enyu vatsigiri vanhu vaitsigira mushakabvu vatsvangirai nemaondero enyu vachauya kumberi nemhenye vachafamba rwendo renyu nemi here mukuumba bato renyu itsva?
Hatina munhu wataaruza aitsigira vatsvangirai, aitsigira vachamisa. Hatina vataruza. Chatingatoita kutowedzera nekuti vanhu vaakuona kuti kuri kuinda utungamiri uhu, utungamiri hune muono wetwiza, utungamiri hune muono wekumberi, utungamiri uhu vachamisa zvaiko kutaura kuti aiwa mazamuti navo vatikudzii, utungamiri uhu hune mazano amoti strategy. Chandoda kuita ndechekuti vanhu vaisatirira zita rokungoti NDC. Zita rokungoti NDC risina utungamiri hwakanaka rechunhu. Zita rokungoti MDC risina zvinhu zvavanobvita mazviri akatoti mavalues, maprinciples, ideology. Zita risina izvozvo harirechunhu. So vanhu izvozvo ndizvo zvavaitevera. Zvinhu izvozvo hazvisari zvakadaro, zvinoenda neutungamiri hwazvo. So ndo zvicharamba zvichitevwa nevanhu. Vanhu vacharamba vachitevera maprinciples ari muCCC, vacharamba vachitevera mavalues ari muCCC, vacharamba vachitevera ideology iri muCCC, vacharamba vachitevera quality yeleadership iri kuinda kuCCC. Quality yeleadership iri muCCC ndo yavakatevera. Saka uchaona kuti tichatowedzera huwandu hwevanhu nevamwe vanga vasimbori muNDC muchaona vachiuya kuzojoina.
Pandati regai nditarise zviri kuitika pasocial media, ndangoona pakangozara munhu wese akapfeka yero. CCC ichitotrenda kuti paTwitter, paWhatsapp vachingoti CCC, zvichiratidza kuti aiwa padandemutange pane vanhu vakati wandei vanogara mumadhorobha vari kunyatsohwisisa zviri kuitika. Chichitarisa kumamisha uko kune vanhu vakati wandei vasina access to social media, zvii zvamakatarisira kuvaitira sebato idzva mukuvazivisa kuti aiwa pava nebato rinowana, richange richikwikwidza mumaby elections, richange richikwikwidza zvakare musarudzo dza 2023?
Chekutanga tiri world technology. Yakushandiswa nzira dzakawanda dzekukombeta nevanhu. Vana WhatsApp amataura, vana Facebook amataura, vana Instagram. Nzira idzodzo dzakatikoshera kudzishandisa. Nekuti dzinoita kuti information yedu inde zviri izi. Asi zvamataura kuti vanhu vazhinji vari kumusha havana nzira dzakadaro. Ndizvo mhaka tine mastructures edu kumawadzi, kumabranchi, kumaprovinces, kumadistricts, kwese tine mastructures. Kungava kudotito, kungava kwavhukururu, kungava kwamuroi, kana kunzi kumadzimba zasi. Hakuna kusina structure reCCC. So tichashandisa mastructures iwayo kumeka sure kuti munhu wese oga oga at branch level, at the lowest level emusangano, aziva kuti chinonzi CCC chii. Tichameka sure kuti mastructures edu ari kumamisha ikoko amaketa musangano vaita misangano yekuti yekuzivisa vanhu maringe nechipuka chitsva chiri pakati pedu. Isusu as leadership tichadzika ikoko tichimeka sure kuti maprograms iwawo ari kuitwa ende vanhu vari kuziviswa maringe neCCC yatinazvara nhasi. So hatirelai nesocial media chete. Tinavo vanhu zasi, tinavo vanhu nyasi nyasi pasi kusingasviki mota asi vanhu variko, kusingasviki social media asi vanhu variko.
Vakura one rega ndi kubatsei pamuromo. Let me translate everything you've been saying for our undeveloped audience, and then I'll come back to continue our conversation. Yebo kambe sibekandaba wonke umuntu ongenayo kuhlelo. Sithanda ukubonga wonke umuntu olathi kuhlelo lwethu labasakhulayo, uhlelo Live Talk. The connection lami uMike Wobe. Sikhuluma nje sixoxa losakhulayo owebandla le-Citizens Coalition for Change elikhokelwa ngu-Advocate Nelson Chamisa. A lot of you knew it before izolo as the MTC Alliance. Manje sebetshintshile phela ibizo labo, eneni labantu now know them as the Citizens Coalition for Change. Kuhlelo sixoxa losakhulayo owebandla leli uMnumzana uGodfrey Kurawone. Sikhangela phela udaba lolu uKurawone ulathi kuhlelo uyasithathisela okuningi ngaleli bandla. Ngimbuzile ngempela ukuthi kungani babone ukuqakathekile ukuthi batshintshe ibizo labo. Uhlelo ngempela ukuthi hhayi bona babefuna ukutshintsha ibizo labo ngenxa yokuthi they wanted to leave the MTC Alliance brand and start a whole new thing. So yikho lokho kushiwo ngumnumzana uKurawone. Ngimbuzile ngempela ukuthi bona njengebandla balazi inhlelo na ezijonge ukuthuthukisa abantu abasakhulayo before when they were under ibizo lokuthi i-MTC Alliance. Vele inhlelo zazikhona eziningi ebezijonge ukuthuthukisa abasakhulayo. Sibone abantu abasakhulayo abafana nabo Gifto Sizilwa labo sebelazi izikhundla eziqhakathekile kakhulu kubandla leli. UKurawone uyasho ngempela ukuthi hayi, the culture will continue. Ama-policies okuthuthukisa abantu abasakhulayo azaqhubekela phambili aphansi kwaleli bandla elitsha, i-Citizens Coalition for Change. Ngimbuzile ngempela ukuthi njengoba sebetshintshile ibizo labo, balazi inhlelo na ezijonge ukufundisa uzulu okuthile ngaleli bandla. Uyasho ngempela ukuthi hayi, ngempela balabo abantu abaningi abakhona emaphandleni, abakhona emadolobheni athiyeneyo kwele Zimbabwe, abazathatha lo msebenzi wokufundisa uzulu okuthile angaleli bandla. So yikho lokhu kusanda kushiwo ngumnumzana uGodfrey Kurawone. Silukanda bangenani kuhlelo, bhalani imibono yenu ngaleli bandla elitsha elikhokhelwa ngu-Advocate Nelson Chamisa, Citizens Coalition for Change. Vakurawone regaindi dzoke kwamuri mukoma. Ndandikumbira kuti tiendereberi nehuru redu. Let's continue with our conversation here. You are talking more about the programs that you have and the policies that you have as the Citizens Coalition for Change that target uplifting the youth. Are these policies going to continue as they did under the MTC Alliance?
This country shall never die. the young people will save it or will rescue it. Kurora kuti nyika ina hemizvofi yakafa. Nokuti vechidiki varipo ndo vachaiseva. That izvozvezvo mukazvitarisa ndo zvinoita kuti isusu tigone kuramba tine fungo yekuti ngatirambe tichitora vechidiki tichivaisa muzvinzvimbo zvokutungamirira. Kutungamirira harichizera. Kutungamirira kuziva zvoda kuitwa. Nekutungamirira pandakamboenda rimwe gore ndakamboenda kune programu yainzi Yali in America. Ndakadzidziswa kunzi leadership is an art of getting things done. Kungoti zvinhu zvaitwa ndokutungamirira. Hakune ine zero. Ndo makamuchiona vachamirira vachitungamirira zuva ranhasi. Mukatarisa zera ravo navanotungamirira zvakatosiyana. Asi vanhu vanotirira zvavanoona mutungamiriri wemunhu. Paisusu semusangano ticharamba tichiindirira mberi nokuisa vechidiki mapositions ekutungamirira kuita kuti musangano wedu usaparara.
In closing here, Mr. Kuraone, as we approach the by-elections and, of course, the 2023 elections, what parting words would you like to leave, especially for the youth of the nation?
What I can say to the Zimbabwean family is that and we are all heading towards Canaan. And I would advise everyone to get on board so that we fly together. This is the people's project. This is the people's party. Unlike what's happening in other parties on IMDC, most of them, they are now compromised. And then I dining with the ZANU-PF. But this one is a real people's project aimed at ushering change in Zimbabwe. So I would advise everyone to take his or her party in marketing at this project so that we all move together as a party. And I encourage everyone to register to vote so that we vote in 2023. For those who are doing the by-elections, I encourage them to also participate and make sure that we sail through these by-elections. And this is a people's project. No one wants it. It's owned by the people. And I urge all the people to come on board so that we move together.
Well, Zulukandaba lisanda kuzwa ingxoxo esiyenze alo mnumzana uGodfrey Kuraone webandla elitsha elisanda ukubunjwa elikhokhelwa ngumnumzana u-Advocate Nelson Chamisa eliphansi kwegama elithi i-Citizens Coalition for Change. Lapha uKuraone bechathisa okuningi ngaleli bandla esithi hhayi kuningi okubuyayo, kuningi okukhona okujonge ukuthuthukisa abantu abasakhulayo. Likubona njani Zulukandaba? Abhalani imibono yenu. Kwanelokwa namhla mthwakazi omuhle, Zimbabwe omuhle. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank Mr. Godfrey Kuraone for taking time out to be with us. Panel Panepengire Studio 7, we also appreciate Jobert Ngwenya and Odia Ndaleka, both who are here, our guests on our youth program. Muri Zimbabwe, unfortunately, my time here is up, but let's meet same time, same place, Panel Panepengire Studio 7. At Mike Hove _ is my Twitter and Instagram username, so for those that are looking to chat with me, you can catch me there. Muri Zimbabwe, let's meet same time, same place, Panel Panepengire Studio 7, Anokone Kaine Mparo, Jinwenyu Mike Hove, Tsakazo Muhle, Zimbabwe Muhle, bye-bye!